Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's start with the conversations about the Plantation Industries and Commodities Minister, Dato' Khairuddin Ahmad Razali's quarantine violation after returning from Turkey in June. Now, it was raised in Parliament today, during which the Dewan was told that there are no double standards when it comes to enforcement of COVID-19 SOPs. Amanah MP for Pokok Sena, Datuk Mahfuz Omar, he had questioned the differences in the sentences meted out to those in power and those not in power, which Mahfuz said was similar to the P. Ramlee film Antara Dua Darjat. Did you watch that film, Sharad?
No, I must say, it's one of the classics that, of P. Ramlee that I haven't watched, but I am catching up on much of P. Ramlee through the memes, the many memes, Melissa, that have been produced, and not just over this issue, but in other issues, with P. Ramlee capturing the nature of Malayan society, you know, class differences, feudal attitudes. Of course, and I think the connection with this issue of double standards, that sort of nailed it.
And it seems to be a recurring theme during the MCO. I mean, if you compare to the Makcik Gelang Pink, we all know that she was fined 8,000 ringgit, sentenced to a day in jail after violating her quarantine, a home quarantine order. There was a man in Penang who was fined 2,500 ringgit for the same offence. Khairuddin was given a compound of 1,000 ringgit, to which the Ministry of Health has said that they are standing by that compound, that amount, and they're saying they've closed the case on this matter. They are now turning it over to the enforcement agencies.
Yeah, you know, the agencies and these institutions are all, of course, being dragged into this vortex of, I think, frustration and unease about how differences, the differences in sentencing and, in fact, in enforcement. And it does affect their integrity, right? So the ability for them to impose social discipline and to lead from a kind of moral standpoint.
You mean the Ministry of Health?
The Ministry of
Health. Yes, they've done a wonderful job, right?
And the police as well. So, you know, I think all of them suffer when they are seen to be complicit in double standards, in selective prosecution, or any of those things, charges that now seem to swirl around the Khairuddin case.
Okay, and I think it's also, you know, optics of it don't look good at all, coming off the back, the fact that the Deputy Defence Minister had written a letter of support for his son to be appointed a board member of Farmaniaga, all of that kind of coming, coalescing in this one weekend, and it doesn't look good. And I have to say that, you know, this is not a new issue, though. The idea or the conversations about double standards is not a new conversation in Malaysia. It's one that we've had going on for quite a while.
Yeah, and I think it's perhaps a common place to talk about how the rich and the privileged, those connected, those with a father or a mother who's a Tansri or a Dato, you know, get away, perhaps even literally, with murder. And the idea here is that class in Malaysia really does determine your outcomes.
So this is a question of class?
I think it's largely a question of class. It's largely a question of your relationship to power. Those, you know, the centre of power and those around it use that, you know, that the aura of power to insulate themselves from you know, prosecution or from disciplining powers.
So then how do we create a society that is less tolerant of these discrepancies? How do we begin to do that if this is such a long-standing problem?
Well, we see this around the world too, Melissa? I think in democratic societies, the demand for accountability and consistency is there. Social media, of course, makes it, you know, painfully evident when somebody, there's an infraction. Though, you know, there's some, you know, long-standing democracies like Britain have had their controversies as well, including, I think, Dominic Cummings, who was a special advisor to Boris Johnson, caught out for, you know, breaking the lockdown. And he didn't pay the price because, and this is what upset a lot of people. But in Malaysia, the question is whether the kind of social pressure we see now applied through social media will result in something like justice for all those who've had to you know, take it on the chin when it comes to the punishments that have been meted out to
them. It's a question of repercussions. I do want to point out, though, that the idea of accountability, right, Sharad, because, you know, with the case of the minister, the deputy minister, it was about, you know, the Teresa Kwok, who pointed out that he had broken quarantine or questioned whether he had observed quarantine. I think that having perhaps a shadow minister or someone to look at that comes, you know, that there are some benefits to that.
Absolutely. And also, of course, a civil service, perhaps more exposed to the antics and the behaviors and
correct,
the reality
yes.
of what people in power are like, you know, being able to leak that information out to the general public or to the media and so on and so forth. I don't think the media has been particularly good. And I think this is very interesting for all of us in the media.
The media hasn't been very good?
Well, the media has not been, you know, taking the lead. You know, I think the social media takes the lead.
Yes.
The opposition forces take the lead in doing the exposés.
And the media pick up those
They pick
those
it up because
comments.
They can't afford not to pick it up. Mm. When the social media goes wild with these accusations, when the social media points out the actual salary of the people in question and talk about the fine as a function of
right.
that salary or percentage of that salary, how can the traditional mainstream media ignore it?
Well, there you go. So conversations on social media trickle into conversations on the media and then is amplified into conversations in Dewan Rakyat. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Let's discuss the possibility of a youth first Malaysian political party. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to consider this.